at Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, the big test that licenses lawyers. The bar exam has been under criticism after a surprise drop in scores nationwide. We'll find out what's at stake for the profession and the public.
First, even though he's not officially running for president, Governor Scott Walker got some good news today regarding his possible run for the White House. Polls released in early primary states, New Hampshire and South Carolina, show Walker well ahead of his likely opponents. He's currently in Europe on a week-long trade mission. He's going to return to New Hampshire this weekend.
Meanwhile, back at home, two former campaign managers for Walker filed with the FEC today to create a super PAC, which opens the doors for a good deal of fundraising and spending on a potential Walker campaign.
Joining us now to talk more about the latest headlines on Governor Walker is Mordecai Lee. He's a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, a former state legislator. Mordecai, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, let's start with polls in these key primary states. Just how well is Governor Walker doing compared to his announced or unannounced opponents?
Well, he's doing extraordinarily well. We have to remember this is a very crowded field with some declared candidates, some undeclared candidates, but a lot of people who are better known than he is, partly because they're based in Washington, like, let's say, U.S. senators. The fact that he's broken out of the pack so quickly and so early and so discernibly is, I think, good news for him with an asterisk. You know, when professors talk, there's always an on the one hand and on the other hand. And on the other hand, it's that if we think about the Republican nomination race 4 years ago, there seemed to be a kind of a candidate du jour in the sense of sometimes Newt Gingrich was ahead and then he faded and then Michelle Bauman was ahead and then she faded. In other words, the question is Governor Walker merely the flavor of the month, or is this really a kind of a permanent wave of popularity? I guess it's probably towards the latter, but American voters insist on being unpredictable.
Especially in primaries.
I'm not sure either of us should make any predictions.
Well, pollsters will say, hey, this is a snapshot in time. So looking at this particular time, why do you think Governor Walker is having a good showing in key early primary states?
Well, you know, he's an excellent politician. He's very sure-footed. He's very disciplined. And I think, besides the fact that he hasn't made any gaffes, is the fact that he appeals to several of the silos within the Republican Party. You know, when you think about it, there's a kind of a Chamber of Commerce, Country Club Republican Party. There's the Tea Party, which is ideological and conservative. And then there are the religious right, who are ideological but more on values, on culture, rather than on economics. He's succeeded in building a reputation where he's not only acceptable to those three silos, but he's popular with those three silos. That's an unusual accomplishment in the Republican Party, where it's a kind of you stick to your silo and you have trouble breaking out of it. So that might be one of the reasons for his success so far.
Another factor that you wonder if people consider is a pragmatic issue. Can we get the candidate who most reflects our views, whichever group we're talking about, and has a shot of winning in the general election? Do you think Republican primary voters are weighing that, and do you think Governor Walker comes up well when they do that?
You know, even though Governor Romney was eventually the nominee from 4 years ago, and one would say that based on the way you described it, that he came across as more electable than some of the names we've mentioned so far. But I'm really skeptical that primary voters or caucus attenders care as much about electability as they care about agreement on substance. In other words, they don't vote for a moderate because the moderate is more likely to become president. They sort of vote their heart. And that's why when we talk about primaries and caucuses, we tend to say that on the Republican side, the caucus goers and primary voters are more to the right of the party itself. And we say the same thing about the Democratic Party, that the primary voters are to the left of the mainstream of the party. So I'm not sure that's the factor. After all, you could make the counter-argument that he might not be as electable as, I don't know, let's say Jeb Bush or some of the U.S. senators because he doesn't have experience in foreign policy. And right now, foreign policy tends to be a very important topic.
Talking to Mordecai Lee about Governor Walker, a lot of headlines, a lot of news about him on the primary trail, though he's not officially a candidate yet. Well, let's tackle that point. Hillary Clinton is in the race on the Democratic side. We've had a few Republicans announce. What kind of strategy factors, tactical factors, are going into the when to announce decision for Governor Walker?
I think that's a great question, Rob, because he's everything except a declared candidate. He's traveling to the primary states. He's giving speeches. He's creating a political infrastructure. The public rationale that he's offered is that he wants to wait until the budget clears the legislature. He signs it with his line item vetoes, and then he's sort of done for the summer. I tend to think that that might be the public rationale. That might not be the political reason. There's a political reason for not declaring or not even having an exploratory committee, and that's the legal status is different. So right now, he can be supported by the what's called the 527 or by this new super PAC that just began today. And he doesn't have to disclose his donors. There's no limitation on donations as there would be if he had an exploratory committee or if he had a if he was a declared candidate. So I think he's trying to maximize the situation of being able to raise money without disclosure and without the routine limits that there are for presidential campaigns. And so the longer he can do it, in a sense, the better off he is.
You mentioned that super PAC. It's called Unintimidated. That's new. Now, what can that do that 527 couldn't do previously?
Right. A super PAC is theoretically an independent entity that can explicitly support a candidate. And if we look at what happened 4 years ago with Romney's super PAC, it can trash the opponents without necessarily dirtying the fingers of the candidate himself or herself. But I think there's something else going on here. If we think about all the litigation about John Doe 2, and I don't want to imply anybody's guilty of anything in John Doe 2, but the legal principle that's being fought is the issue of coordination. That's a really important legal issue. And up to now, super PACs could exist only if they explicitly did not coordinate with the candidate. If the opponents of John Doe 2 succeed in getting to the U.S. Supreme Court with their argument that the coordination clause across the board is unconstitutional, then a super PAC can even more explicitly coordinate with a candidate. So I think there are a couple different things going on here, but this certainly is part of the choreography, or maybe you'd call it the political striptease of becoming a candidate, and that's having a super PAC that's backing you up vigorously.
Now, some news closer to home, also in the poll field, the Marquette Law School survey out with some new numbers today, including a 41% approval rating here in Wisconsin for the governor. That's the lowest in the 3 years that they've been doing this poll. What do you make of those numbers?
Well, I think it's a combination of anticlimactic phase of being reelected. After all, he won reelection in a really tough fight, although he ended up winning by a very comfortable margin. And then, in a sense, maybe there's a kind of a sag in his political standing. But I think it's more the fact that he's been running for president. He's been out of the state a lot. He's been traveling a lot. And he really doesn't seem to be vigorously fighting for his budget. Those kinds of factors, for example, as he's been traveling, he's been talking much more about controversial social issues that he never talked about in Wisconsin. For example, he volunteers his position on funding Planned Parenthood. He volunteers his position on abortion. I think the fact that he's so overtly talking about social issues means that he's sort of reminding some Wisconsin voters where he stood on the issues that he never wanted to talk about when he was a candidate for reelection. So it's probably a combination of things, but I have to tell you, Rob, that I'm really taken aback by the news that's coming out of joint finance. It's almost like a disregard for the positions he's recommending. When you compare how joint finance reacted to his proposals 4 years ago and 2 years ago, now it's almost like they're viewing him as a governor of a different party who they don't have to listen to. It's almost like his views and recommendations aren't carrying as much weight. And I think this is significant, and the 41% that you mentioned, Rob, in the poll maybe is an indirect confirmation of that sort of fingertip feel that politicians have about other politicians.
Now, the governor doesn't have to face an election here in Wisconsin anytime soon. Do the things we just talked about, that approval rating, the TIF, the differences with his own party over the budget, does any of that matter out on the primary campaign trail?
You know, it probably doesn't, in the sense of if he runs and wins, of course, it wouldn't have mattered. If he runs and loses and he comes back to being governor of Wisconsin, he'd have plenty of time to build back up to popularity if he wanted to. But, you know, it's also possible that if he doesn't win, that he might want to leave the governorship. And I'm not at all saying that's what I'm recommending or that I think is going to happen. But it might be that after running for president and the vigor of it and the sag in his popularity in Wisconsin, he might feel, again, I want to be careful with comparisons, but you remember how Sarah Palin decided that she just sort of after the excitement of being on a presidential ticket, she wasn't interested in going back to being governor, without in any way suggesting that Scott Walker is like Sarah Palin. That might be a kind of a political phenomenon in a reaction to the intensity of running on for a national office.
A lot to happen between now and then. Mordecai, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. My pleasure.
That's Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, longtime political observer, former state legislator. He joined us to talk about the latest news on Governor Walker and his likely presidential campaign.